You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 168. Now, we have a guest on the show today, Gay, and in fact, we've just finished doing the recording. And as you know, when we have a guest on the show, I have no idea what the dream is until we start recording. And that's part of the joy of it, that you're listening for the first time, as I am, to the dream and to the questions, and we explore it all together. And then when we finish, as I've just finished talking to Gay, we come back to the beginning and pop the beginning of the show on and pop the end of the show on, which is what I'm just about to do. So I now know what Gay's dream is all about. So I'm just going to give you a couple of little hints so that you can go in and really enjoy this one. It's a fabulous dream and fabulous questions. We go very deep. We come up with some wonderful stuff. I know that you're going to enjoy this one. Amongst the many things that come up, that Gay really wanted to come onto the show to share her her fears around experiencing sleep paralysis, which is you'll hear more about as we listen to Gay. But it's when you are dreaming and you suddenly feel that you can't move, you're totally and utterly trapped, or you feel that someone's sitting on your chest, or you're trying to wake up and you can't wake up, you can't breathe, you can't shout. So she came on wanting to talk about that, and we do talk about that from every aspect, physiological and so on. But she also wanted to bring in examples of the kinds of dreams that she was having when that sleep paralysis occurred. So we roughly look at what those dreams were about, and then we hone in on one of the dreams in particular and deeply explore that. Now, Gay, as you will hear when you listen to her, has also been facing some quite severe medical issues, and they come into the dreams as well. And the thing that we really go into in some depth and end up doing the dream alchemy on is a question of heritage and exploring a heritage that Gay hasn't really been encouraged to look at and own and be proud of in the past. So that's as much as I'm going to say going in, because I just wanted to tempt you to really have a good listen to this, because it's a fantastic one. And whether, even if you've never had sleep paralysis yourself, or you don't actually have some of the issues that Gay's dreamy mind has been exploring and Gay has been dealing with, there's always so much to pick up as you listen to a podcast show, to an episode of The Dream Show. There's so much to pick up about how to approach your dreams, how to understand your dreams. You'll pick up those tips. And of course, I think one of the most wonderful things about having a guest on the show is it gives us all the opportunity to connect and see someone else's life from a different perspective, what they're going through, the positives, the struggles, and the wonderful openings that can come from deeply exploring a dream and gift through dream alchemy, a new path opening up, which is what's happened for Gay here. So I just say one thing before going in, because it is my website. If you haven't been to my website recently, like in the last couple of months, it is completely different. So janetheresa.com, that's Theresa without an H, or find me on Facebook. And here you go. Oh, and also, when you get to the end of this, if you've enjoyed this, remember, this is episode 168. Through my website at janetheresa.com, you can listen to all the other episodes. So if you enjoy this one, share the link. Here you go. Here's Gay. Welcome to The Dream Show, Gay. How are you?
I'm good today, Jane Theresa. How are you?
I'm really well. It's mid-morning here in Brisbane, and it's a beautiful day. And I had a little bit of a sleep in, so this is my first my first big effort of the day. So I'm nice and fresh for you. What time of day is it where you are?
It's about 7:30. It's the end of my day, so I'm just winding down.
Okay. Well, in that last little bit of wind down energy that you've got, as usual, I have no idea what your dream is. So I'm all yours, Gay. What have you got to ask me?
You know, there are several dreams that fall into the category that I have a question about. I've been researching it a little bit, and I think it's called dream paralysis.
Yes.
The first dream occurred in 2012, 2 months after a cancer surgery for me that turned out well, but at the time it was still pretty frightening. And I have been diagnosed also with some macular degeneration. Mm. So I thought, well, you know, it's time now to start getting my ducks in a row health-wise. So I went to a retina specialist. And I have to say the guy wasn't maybe not exactly what I expected. No bedside manner. He looked in my eyes and he said, well, maybe not today, maybe not next year, but you will go blind. Mm. Pretty much frightened me.
Yes.
And no, hey, we got stuff in the works and there's testing being nothing like that. So that night I was still sleeping up in my chair because of the post surgery. I was still sleeping in a recliner. And I was sitting in the chair and I really did not know I was asleep. My eyes were open, but I couldn't see anything. Everything was dark and I was going back and forth from eye to eye trying to see something and it was just so black. I was afraid. I tried to move my arms off the chair. I couldn't move them. And then suddenly I could. And I said, oh, there's the light. I must be okay. I must not be blind. And then it happened several times over and over. And I didn't realize it was a dream. I thought it was really happening until I really woke up and got out of the chair. It was just that feeling of not being able to move or speak that was really frightening. And that hadn't happened again until this summer.
Mm-hmm. And in what way did it happen this summer, Gay?
Well, this summer, twice now. The first dream was I was in that paralysis situation. I was in my bed, and I woke up, not really woke up, but in my dream I woke up. And I was trying to tell my husband that I was having a stroke, that I couldn't move, that I couldn't talk. And he was pulling me out of the bed, dragging me along the floor, saying, you can speak, you can cook breakfast, get in the kitchen. And I got up, I woke up from that, realized I was asleep. He was in bed, everything was fine. Walked around a little bit, kind of trying to shake it off, because it's really frightening when you feel like you just are trapped and can't move or speak. Then I got back in bed, went back to sleep, and I began dreaming again. And the thing that was in common about these two dreams is that in both of them, someone was pulling at my legs.
Mm.
This one was very odd. I was in a cave, and I had found some American Indian cave drawings that were leading me to my grandmother's bones.
Mm.
There was a demon. There was something in there that was very menacing in that cave. And it was dragging me by my legs deep into the cave. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. And then I woke up and got out of bed and went into the living room. And then that again this summer, my granddaughters were staying overnight with us. And we had a bad storm and a lot of thunder and lightning. And so it took a little while for them to get back to sleep, and we told some stories. And when I finally went to bed, I dreamed that the girls came into the room to wake me up to get them breakfast. Couldn't move, couldn't talk to them, and they just wandered away. And I was trying to speak, saying, come back, don't go out the door. And they wandered outside, and when I was dreaming, I was still dreaming, I know I was now, but I was able to wake up and move, and I chased them outside, but I couldn't find them, and I was hysterical calling for them. And then suddenly I was immobile again, and I couldn't do anything. I was standing just stone still, and I couldn't do anything.
Mm.
In these dreams, the darkness that I feel is so dark, it's just black and frightening, no light. Then I got, I woke up, I did the same thing. I walked around the house a little bit, went back to bed, and then I dreamed like I was laying on my stomach asleep, and that was true. And then during the dream, I felt like there was a weight on my back, and I heard this whisper. It was like a laughter, a frightening laughter, and I didn't know if it was coming from me, if I was laughing, or was someone else. And I was very frightened, and that same very process, every time I would wake up, shake myself awake, see the room around me, feel okay, I went back to sleep like three times, and that happened three times again, the very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In each of the last two dreams, my husband said that I was talking in my sleep, and thrashing around and seems quite agitated. And these are, I just don't understand these dreams. And so I just wondered if you had a take on that.
Yes, of course. Oh, that is so distressing, Gabe, you know, because there's so much to deal with there, and we will, you know, the sleep paralysis, the fear, and not least of which the disturbed sleep as well. You know, anyone suffering nightmares, let alone what you're going through, knows the agonies and anxieties mm-hmm. of wanting to go to sleep, you know, wanting to go to bed and have a really good night's sleep and wake up feeling fresh, as I have just said that I did this morning, and yet have that feeling that, you know, you're not well slept, not only not well slept and not getting the refreshment you need, but also often frightened to go to sleep because of these things that you have to sometimes experience while you're asleep. So there are lots of reasons why it's important, and I'm glad that you asked these questions, because there will be people listening that have suffered similar things, so that we can get to the bottom of what they are and how to deal with them. So you've given a lot of background on that, and I know that you said that you've done a fair bit of research on dream paralysis. So, mm-hmm. you know, you obviously have a fair idea of what it's about. Would you like to share with our listeners what you've discovered, and then I'll add to that about dream paralysis itself as a phenomenon, and then we'll look at what's actually happening for you and your dreams?
Sure. I think the first dream after the eye specialist was just, it was fear of going blind. It was, mm-hmm. It was the stress and the fear that I was having manifesting itself in that dream, and the helplessness that I felt about doing anything about it, because the best thing anybody can tell me is eat kale and wear dark glasses, and that's not something you want to hear when some, your sight, you know, your sight is in question. And I think that was a lot of it. The second one and the third one, I really don't know. I don't know what triggered those. I know that there's been some family issues over the last couple of years that really aren't resolved, and that kind of seem to, you know, are in the back of my mind a lot. It may be that. But I think they're stress-related.
Yes.
And I think it's a feeling of helplessness in your situation that manifests itself.
Yes, that's all pretty true. I just wanted to know how far you'd gotten, so that's really wonderful that we've got that background, Gay. Dream paralysis itself as a phenomenon, as you will have experienced there, is you know, in its most basic form is a feeling, and I'm sort of talking to people that haven't experienced it now, so they know what we're talking about, to our other listeners. It's a feeling, as Gay has described really well there, where you absolutely feel paralyzed, and sometimes you actually think you're awake, or you feel you've been dreaming and you're trying to wake up, and so you're mm-hmm. calling out as you were, you know, calling out to your husband or to the granddaughters in the dream. You're calling out, or you're trying to shake awake, and it takes such an enormous effort to actually wake up, which you did manage to do in all of those. So it's that feeling that a part of you is awake, and yet, like, it's a feeling that mentally and emotionally you're bordering on wakefulness and wanting to wake up, or even dreaming about waking up, but the body is not following. Now, the physiology behind this, once you actually get to this point, we'll look at what triggers it in you later, but the physiology is that as we dream, our brain cuts down the way in which the nerves work and communicate with our muscles, simply so that we don't get up and act out our dreams. You know, we all dream of running around, you know, killing people, jumping off cliffs, all those kind of things. So thankfully, evolution has stepped in and allowed us to experience all these things safely without much happening in our bodies beyond the occasional muscular twitch. So we've got enough going on in our bodies to keep our bodies alive and functioning and well as we sleep, but basically the movement of the whole body is cut down. While we're dreaming, during the rest of our sleep, we're generally able, as we all know, to get up, move around, you know, while we're asleep, change our position a bit. We actually move quite a lot during our sleep, but during the dreaming phases, we're pretty still. Now, if there's a mismatch for various reasons, which we'll go into in a minute, if there's a mismatch where you have been dreaming and all of a sudden you're actually becoming awake, so you're waking up mentally and emotionally, you're beginning to leave the dream or wanting to leave the dream and wanting to wake up or beginning to wake up, but the part of the brain that has dampened down the muscles, the nerves to the muscles, hasn't yet got with the program. Mm-hmm. You're in that situation where you're mentally trying to wake up, or you are even awake, and your body can't move. Now, this is absolutely terrifying for any of us, even when you understand the background, but I will give help with that. It's a terrifying feeling, feeling trapped in your own body, not being able to move. So that is what sleep paralysis is. It's actually something that is really helpful for us all. We all experience dream paralysis every time we dream, apart from those people that get up and sleepwalk. We all experience dream paralysis. The problem comes when you begin to wake up out of the dream and you're out of sync and you still got the dream paralysis, and that is terrifying, as you know. Mm-hmm. So we'll look at what triggers it in a minute, but one tip for you, Gay, and for anyone else experiencing this, is simply to know that dream paralysis is not a sign that anything is wrong. It's actually a sign that your body is doing a really good job of protecting you from getting up and acting out your dreams. It's just a bit out of sync. You know, the alarm clock has gone off for your mind to wake up, but not your body. So kind of knowing that, you can train yourself. Even if you're still in the tail end of the dream and you're actually dreaming and you've got that feeling of the weight on your back or your legs being pulled or the general paralysis trapped feeling, you can begin to, by telling yourself when you're awake that this is just dream paralysis and you will always get out of it, you can begin in the dream or as you're waking up just to say to yourself, it's okay, take a few deep breaths. It's just, I'm just out of sync and all is going to be well. So it's just that knowing that, in fact, it's a normal, natural procedure and all will be well can begin to decrease the amount of panic that can take hold.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, if not knowing that, if you get to the stage of the dream paralysis and the panic begins to get hold, of course, as soon as you panic, you're in, you know, super fear mode. And with all of us, what happens in super fear mode is, again, the natural physiology of the human body is the fight or flight response. So all the fear hormones come out and your body goes into, like an animal, it's ready to either run from the tiger that's going to eat you, or you're ready to stand your ground, or you're ready to fight. So it's fight or flight. Now, when we're extremely frightened, we haven't got the energy to run away. We haven't got the energy to fight. We are frozen on the spot, you know, and that feeling when panic can be like that, and extreme fear, when we actually feel frozen to the core, when we sometimes say, oh, it feels like someone's just walked over my grave, when you get goosebumps, when you're literally frozen stiff, that is a physiological fear panic thing that can happen. So if you're experiencing dream paralysis in a dream and you're panicking, you've got that extra layer of panic and that extra layer of frozen stiff. So you not only got dream paralysis, but you got super, super, super dream paralysis.
Right.
Because your body is producing all the fear hormones, the normal things. So these are kind of normal circumstances. So that is what happened. As you have correctly said, for that first dream and the others, which we will go into, in that first dream, you were processing the blackness in many ways of how that retina specialist had maltreated you and been very unkind and unhelpful to you. And you were processing the fears of that in your sleep. So, you know, our dreams are always processing our conscious and unconscious experiences of the last day or two. You'd just been to the retina specialist. You were still experiencing the after effects and the healing from the cancer surgery. You were still not sleeping in your own bed. You were sleeping upright in a chair. So you were kind of partially awake, partially asleep, and processing the fears around what if I go blind? What if it's not, it wasn't even so much the what if I go blind, was it? It was the how could somebody have treated me so badly and not given me lines of support and hope and optimism and things to do and treated me like a human being?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So you had an awful lot to process in your dream that night anyway. And as you said, all of those things would have brought up your fears, my fears not only of going blind at some stage, but more than that, my fears of not having hope, of not having support, of not having help, of not being treated well. So your dream would have been dealing with those fears. Now, any of us have a dream and you get fear or stress coming to the dream. In other words, your dreamy mind and your dreaming brain are processing fears that you've had during the day or processing stress that you've had during the day. The moment you get that fear or you get that stress in your dream, the body then releases the stress hormones, the fear hormones. So although you are only dreaming, and I'm doing quote marks in the air at you here, although you are only dreaming, your body's going, oh, I can't tell the difference between a dream and real life. So there's fear happening here, there's stress. Bring on the fear hormones, bring on the stress hormones. So you've already got a body responding in fear and frozen stiff. So there's the beginning of the sleep paralysis too, like frozen stiff in the dream. You're trying to wake up, trying to get out of the dream, trying to escape it. You're already frozen stiff. It kind of tries to jolt you mentally and emotionally awake while your body is still going, oh, I'm still doing dream paralysis actually. So you wake up feeling that trapped feeling, and then the fear and the panic escalate and it just gets worse and worse and worse until you can pull yourself out of it. So that's the physiology behind it. And sometimes just knowing that is enough to help you through, you know, even in the dream state, even when you're totally in a dream and you can't even remember that you've got a waking life, you know, the dream is it's real. Something in your mind can trickle through that you know at some deep level that there's a sleep paralysis and it will pass and it can just edge that fear away. So that's one thing. And we are going to go into the symbolism of a couple of these dreams, but I just wanted to jump to that last one, Gay, where you know, as you said, you were asleep on your stomach and you felt the weight on your back. So again, that is also sleep paralysis, you know, because it's any part of your body. And because you would have been aware in both in your dream and in that partially waking up phase that you wanted to wake up, you kind of knew the position your body was in. And so the experience of paralysis was, oh, it must be like there's a weight on my back because I can't get up. Sometimes people, the most common actually experience of sleep paralysis, people say they feel there's a weight on their chest or they feel that there's an evil being pressing down on their chest. And that's when people are laying on their back. And for whatever reason, they start to wake up. They've got the dream paralysis thing happening. Now, because dream paralysis usually happens, as I've said, when you wake up, trying to wake up and get out of a frightening dream quickly, and that's why you've got the mismatch. We know you're coming out of a frightening dream. So most people say laying on their back, feeling the weight on their chest and thinking, oh, it's an evil force pushing me down, are relating that evil force as the symbol kind of the what they were processing in their dream. You know, whatever fear it was, that's the evil thing that they're trying to escape. And that's the thing that's stopping them from waking up. So they perceive that as an evil force pressing down, or as you said, a kind of demonic laughter, even though you didn't know if it was you pressing down. Right. So it's that sense of, and I just want to allay your mind, Gay, and other people that are listening, that added to the dream paralysis trapped feeling, which is just awful, can then be this feeling as you wake up that for some people that there's an evil or demonic force in the room. And that obviously is terrifying, and that can compound the fear of going to sleep the next night and so on. So it's really good and important to know that no matter how real that feels, you know, there's nothing more real than not being able to being awake and not being able to move and being cold sweats of frozen and fear and feeling there's something evil in the room pinning you down. I mean, that is believable. You know, your brain starts to go, this has to be true. There's an evil force in the room. But it's good to know that there isn't. That evil force is your mind's way of trying to get its head around that bad thing that you were dreaming about just now. I was dreaming about something really bad. I'm now awake. So that bad thing must be in the room, right? Wrong.
Right.
Okay. So that's that. So
that must be why I thought it was me laughing, because it was me that I was paralyzed and nothing was holding me down but me at that point.
Yes. Yeah. So you would have been feeling like, almost like you were, you were the baddie holding you down. So now you can see, like in that second dream that where you woke up in the dream and you were trying to tell your husband you had a stroke, that was actually really clever of your dreaming mind to come up with that. That was probably the closest explanation that you could make of dream paralysis in the dream. This must be what having a stroke is like, when you want to move and you're trying to move and you can't. So, you know, that dream of saying you had the stroke was really your dreaming mind processing the feeling of the dream paralysis and trying to put words on it. I loved on that the theme of the dream, which was dream was almost processing no matter what happens, no matter how stressed you are, no matter what's happening in your life, you've got to get up, you've got to get in the kitchen, you've got to cook breakfast.
That'd be me.
Yeah. So it's there's two things happening there, you know. One is that might be part of the symbolism of the dream. You might actually that night have been processing, why don't I give myself a break? You know, why don't I give myself more nurturing time? You know, I just feel I put myself under pressure to get up and keep on going, to look after people. I don't know, you know, or we'd have to look at the details of the dream. But, you know, are you under pressure to just keep on going rather than to stop and relax and heal and mend? So the dream may have been looking at that. And that's what was happening there. Although I did notice, and this was the other thing, I said there were two reasons for that. In the dream with the when you had your granddaughters, you were in that dream, you were trying to get the granddaughters breakfast. And in the dream with a stroke with a husband, it was like get in the kitchen and cook the breakfast. So
exactly.
Yeah. So again, that cook, get up and look after people things may be an issue that you're dealing with within yourself. You know, how do I get that nice balance going between getting up and doing things and caring for people and enjoying that looking after family or enjoying doing things and being busy versus the opposite of that, you know, taking time out, sitting, being, healing. How do you get the balance in your life with those things? You may have been dreaming that, but by the same token, feeling that dream paralysis and really wanting to wake up, again, another clever thing that your dreaming mind can go is, it's kind of like getting up and making breakfast. You know, let's get up and get the day started. Let's get out of this paralysis. Let's break the fast. Let's get going, you know, so it might have been coming in at that level. I'm really interested, if you're happy to do it, to explore this dream about the cave and the American Indian cave drawings.
I'd love to explore that.
Okay, that's lovely. So this that dream, that was this summer?
Yes.
Mm. Roughly how long ago, Gay?
That one was probably in June or early July.
Right, so a month or two ago. So as we look at this dream, Gay, as you know, the dream reflects the last day or two, basically. What, you know, you're processing the last day or two, and then whatever that triggers comes up as well. But so as we look at this dream, we're going back to June or early July when you had this dream and looking around that time.
Okay.
So It started out you were in a cave. Was it also dark? Was it very dark, the same darkness as the other dreams?
It was dark, but not as dark as the other dreams. There were like those torches on the walls.
Yes.
And you could see a little bit. I remember it being orangey and flickering, and I could see the stone of the walls.
Mm. And did that give you the feeling, I know you saw the cave paintings, was there any sense in the dream that you wanted to see more, or was it like, yeah, this is a normal cave, this is great, I can see the cave drawings?
I was on a mission of some kind, and to tell you the truth, I am a quarter American Indian.
Ah, okay.
And I don't know anything about that side of my family.
Mm.
There's been no... my grandmother pretty much disowned that part of the family, and because she was afraid back in America in those days, Indians were looked down on, and she was a widow and had seven children and was very afraid. And so she just kind of abandoned that.
Mm.
And I don't recall thinking of her at that time. I never knew her. She passed away before I was born. But I think we watched something on TV about that time, about the Trail of Tears, which was the United States moving the Cherokee Indians, which that's what I am, to Tennessee, and a lot of them died. And there was just a TV thing that brought all that to mind.
Yes.
And I've always wondered about my grandmother and where she was. I don't think she's buried in a cave. But for some reason, that all manifested itself. And there was this, it was like the drawings itself were leading me to, it was a story, and I was trying to read them and find out where she was. And then this thing was coming out of the dark back part of the cave and just with his cold breath and just pulling me away from the drawing so I wouldn't see them.
I see, yeah. Oh, that's, I say that's fantastic. Sorry for saying that, but I mean, that is a fantastic dream. That's giving us so much to work with.
It's like a movie.
Yeah, you tell a story very well, actually, I have to say. Can you remember any details of the actual drawings themselves?
I saw, let me think back just for a minute. I saw, they were just stick figures, and I saw a horse and a woman. And I saw another Indian with an arrow, a bow and arrow. And I was moving down toward where there was going to be the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to the answer. I was pulled away before I could see the answer.
Yeah, oh, that's brilliant. Okay, so you do have the sense that you had been watching the TV on the Trail of Tears, on the Trail of Tears prior to the dream. So obviously, when any of us go to the movies or watch a particular TV program that touches upon something that's relevant for us, either touches upon it consciously or sometimes on deep unconscious stuff that we don't even realize as we're watching this movie or this show, that it's touching on something that maybe we've repressed. Conscious or unconscious, such a movie or such a TV show or theater performance or book, you know, any of these things can actually trigger a dream because you are ready to process the feelings. It's not so much processing the information. We certainly do process information in our dreams, and we process ideas, and we come up with our own new beliefs, and we come up with creative solutions to things and, you know, and all of those things. But we really latch on to emotional stuff. So anything that creates a deep emotion in us, particularly an emotion that we haven't really fully explored or healed, will come up in a dream for processing. So for you in particular, that Trail of Tears, because of that whole story that you told us, and that almost that block within your own heritage to not knowing a quarter of your heritage, obviously came up for dealing with in this dream. So I like the sense at the beginning, Gay, that you've got the cave, which kind of in a way, I guess, is a good scenario to take us to the cave paintings. It's a way of saying way back in time, like before your grandmother. Let's go back many generations. Let's get really in touch with the rock and the ancient heritage that I've got here, you know, that feeling. And I love that it wasn't black, dark, because unlike the other dreams where the darkness was perhaps more either reflective of the dream paralysis, like I can't see, I can't get out of this, or reflective of dark fears, which you didn't have at the beginning of this dream, or reflective of your fears of the macular degeneration and possible blindness. You know, that's what some of the darkness can mean in the other dreams. But this dream was more like I'm going into darkness, but oh, there's torches on the wall, and oh, there's things I can see. Now, the moment you have a dream like this, and as we all know, everybody's dream is individual and unique. You can't really say what I'm going to say about this dream. You can't really apply to everyone's cave dream, but we can get the general sense that often in a dream, when you're thinking, oh, it's getting a bit dark in here, but oh, this is interesting. It's often when your dreamy mind is beginning to drop into your unconscious mind, into the dark, what we've kept in the dark ourselves, what we don't know, what's not in the light of our consciousness, what we've put down there in the dark so we don't have to see it. So here you are actually ready to go in and see. Now, your dreamy mind put torches on the wall. Your dreamy mind said, if we follow these pictures, we're going to get to some answers that I have really wanted to have. So that TV show that you saw, the movie that you saw, triggered your preparedness to really go and explore this more deeply, readiness to see this, which was great. And to find, as you say, your grandmother's bones, which is both the wondering about where your grandmother has been buried, but of course symbolically is the bones, you know, the deep structure. We have our bones upon which the body is built and moves and has its being. You know, the bones is like the structure, or our structural beliefs in life, what holds us up, what keeps us strong. You're in search of this aspect of yourself. And so I love the fact that these the drawings that you described there, you do remember, they were pretty traditional, you know, horses, Indians, arrows. You could have picked some of that up from the movie, but it was also, I guess, in a sense, your awareness in the dream of American Indian, even with your heritage, probably matched most of the listeners, including mine. You know, these are symbols we would all recognize. Oh, American Indian, you know, riding horses, bows and arrows. So that was kind of what we knew, but you were going to go deeper and find something more. And that's where you found the sense of the menacing demon. So my feeling for that is that, you know, and off air, we would spend longer looking at this in a different situation. But, you know, this show is really about the dream paralysis. We're just going to go into it briefly. But my feeling would be, because you were brought up with that feeling of don't ask about your American Indian heritage, mm-hmm. and the feeling of shame. Your grandmother was essentially, it was shame that she had, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
So you brought up that feeling of be ashamed of your American Indian heritage, don't ask. And yet, you know, the drive to know, and the drive to know consciously, and the genetic drive to know as well. We all want to know where we come from, you know, where our beliefs are. And even your grandmother, in her shame, was still teaching her parents, your parents, was your mum? Your mum's
my
mum?
My dad.
Your dad. Teaching
my
your,
dad.
Yeah.
My dad.
So your grandmother was, even through her shame, though, was still you know, unconsciously bringing up your dad in some American Indian ways or beliefs around that. So you inherited, without even knowing, some of the behaviours and attitudes around that, and you want to deeply explore them. But because you were brought up feeling that you mustn't go there, that's dark, nasty stuff, stuff you've got to be ashamed of, that was why there was that point in the dream. I really want this answer, but there's something dark and menacing down there. In other words, you were basically told, don't ever go down there, that's dark, that's menacing. So when I said that was fantastic, what I really meant was, in your dream, you were beginning to be ready. You didn't quite make it, but you were beginning to be ready to say, I'm ready to look at what people have told me or made me feel is dark and menacing. But actually, in another dream or after some reflection on this, I might be ready to go back and say, dark and menacing, that is just a belief I've been given. There is something rich and wonderful and a culture far more ancient than the American side of you that I want to explore, that is not dark and menacing, that is deeply rich and wonderful and textured, and I want to go there. But what you were facing was all the fears that you've been handed on a plate since childhood.
Makes total sense. Absolutely.
Yeah. So no wonder, A, you felt the fear in the dream, and that began to want you, try to get you to wake up and get out of it. And then, of course, the dream paralysis, feeling of being dragged away from where you want to be, which is being dragged mm-hmm. down. And then the panic and everything that came from that.
And the light into the darkness, because I was being dragged into darkness.
That's right, yeah.
It makes so much sense right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very tempted to say, so I will, because I've got a big mouth. and I'm not stepping into medical territory here, but I really want to say this. But first of all, yeah, in the dream sense, you felt you're being dragged deeper into the unconscious, the stuff where I haven't quite shone my light yet or quite ready to go, but I do want to go. And my mind, you know, I immediately started to think, well, I'll give Gay some dream alchemy for this, which I will. But then I also thought, oh, this is so interesting, Gay. You know, this correlation between the macular degeneration and the doctor saying mm-hmm. to you in a pretty uncaring way, oh, well, you know, sometime between the next short time interval and the end of your mm-hmm. life, you may go blind, may not be able to see. So I'm just thinking, you know, while you also go with the medical profession and find a more caring specialist and do whatever you can, let's take it from the other angle too. Let's take it from the more spiritual angle and say, okay, my physical body is threatening to stop me from seeing, or to see only mm-hmm. darkness, or, here's another take on it, to explore my other senses instead of my visual sense. So what if I was prepared to see what I have been told not to see? What if I was prepared to shine a light and go and see what I think is frightening rather than shutting it out? What if I was to add in not only my visual metaphors and thoughts about what to see, but I started exploring these deeper, this deeper heritage, and also my deeper feelings by listening to myself, by touch, by taste, by smell? I'm not sure how you would do this, but, you know, how can I bring in mm-hmm. all my senses that I have to really get in touch with my American Indian heritage? Now, you might not ever be able to do that specifically through, well, what did my actual grandmother think and feel, and what was her actual experience? But you can, of course, explore more deeply the whole which I'm sure you've already done to a large extent, but the whole American Indian culture, but more with a sense of pride and
right.
So, you know, what if you work from that sense, with a sense of I want to see, rather than there's an unconscious part of me, gay, that wants to block it out, that wants to blind myself to this, that's been told, mm-hmm. don't look there, be ashamed.
It all ties together, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So what I would like to suggest, we're kind of running out of time, so I'll just very, very briefly mention about the granddaughter's dream, then we'll come back and do a dream alchemy on the American Indian cave dream, right. If that's right. But the granddaughters, cut to the chase. You'd had the bad storm, you'd had time getting them to sleep, so, you know, you go to bed, your dreaming mind processes the last day or two. It was processing all that, you know, kind of pedestrian stuff, really, about getting grandchildren to sleep and all of those things. Mm-hmm. But your actual mm-hmm. dream was about them escaping, wandering away, getting lost. So mm-hmm. that dream, for whatever reason, and we probably won't go into it now, that was just to give you some clues, on a deeper level was about the sense of what were you fearful of at that time that you might lose touch with, that might wander away from you. So it was that sense of loss to explore, and that turned into the fear, and that turned into the dream paralysis and the panic. I do love that you've kind of trained yourself. You've had this enough time that you have trained yourself to actually get up and walk around when you do wake up. And that's a good thing. So that's where I would go with that one. Before we go into the dream alchemy for the cave dream, is there anything else around this that you would like to ask or clarify or contribute before we go there?
The cave dream itself?
No, the whole, everything we've talked about and the questions that you brought today.
I don't think really. I think you're just bringing it all together for me in one. It was all separated before. Now I'm seeing that this is a pattern. Mm-hmm. And they're fitting together. The dreams are separate, but they're fitting together for me.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's something in my mind that keeps trying to process and come out. It's just trying to find a way to do it, I think.
That's right. And so if you think about everything we've said so far and you kind of summarize that in a couple of sentences, what do you feel is this thing that's coming out for you to look at?
I feel that you've pretty much nailed me. I'm a people pleaser. I want to do for everybody. I want to take care of everybody. And I do that to the neglect of myself sometimes.
Yes.
I think my biggest fault is neglecting myself and then feeling guilty if I don't.
Yes. And there's a lot of people will relate to that.
Yes, yeah. A lot of women will relate to that.
Yes, yeah. And but it's good to know it. You know, step one is knowing it. Step two is doing some alchemy and just being aware of it on a day-to-day basis. And I think sometimes just that simple noticing, you know, which I'm sure you've already done, but noticing more and more deeply each time, oh, there I go, people-pleasing. How can mm-hmm. what we've looked at today in particular help you shine more and more light, increasing light on why you automatically do that, you know, and why you automatically neglect yourself? So off the top of your head, how would you relate neglecting yourself or feeling guilty if you nourish yourself with the thoughts of your grandmother and your heritage?
You know, I think I bought the story for so long that we don't talk about it, that I acquiesced and I didn't talk about it and I didn't ask questions. And now my father is dead, my grandmother is dead. I don't have anybody to ask the questions of. Mm. And that disturbs me to a point I regret not being a little more forceful in asking those questions. And I think my mind is really wanting to know.
Yes.
That part of me that I've kind of kept in the dark.
Yes, literally.
Literally.
Yeah, literally kept in the dark. So do you feel that the people-pleasing that you've had is that acquiescent side of yourself, not instead of nurturing yourself throughout life by insisting on asking the questions and finding out, you acquiesce to please other people's thoughts and beliefs that you shouldn't ask those questions, that you've become a people pleaser in general to appease and acquiesce? Is that what you're saying?
I believe that's totally true.
So we're looking at the if we put the people pleasing to one side, because that's something you know and notice, and we'll try to do a little bit less of, but we focus on the positive, which is, so therefore, how can I not neglect myself so much? How can I actually, what's the opposite to neglect, Gay?
It's caring for.
Yeah, so how can I care for myself more? And how, you know, in what, every time you find yourself people pleasing, every time you do something because from the bottom of your heart you really want to do something with someone out of love, that's different. But every time you notice, actually, I'm doing this just to please other people, and I'm not caring for myself here. That's the big question. Put the big alert out. Oh, I wasn't caring for myself at that point. How can I care for myself? The more you care for yourself, the more you can give love to other people. Hard to do that when you're depleted, as we all know. So I hear what you're saying. How do you care for yourself? And in particular, how do you care for the part of yourself that you've kept in the dark and that you feel you've lost connection with living people, with your dad and your grandmother who've both passed? Who can you ask? There is no one in your direct lineage you can ask. So at this point, there are two there are two possibilities. I mean, in the general sense, there's exploring more deeply than you've ever done before, the Indian, both the Indian heritage and the American Indian, what's happened as a result of the American Indian blending. And also the other side, so that's actually researching the kind of what you can lay your hands on in books, movies, reading, talking, connecting with other people. But I think the more powerful aspect of that is your own self. Deep down within yourself, you do have answers. Now, those answers may not be precise. They may not be, oh, my grandmother lived here, she's buried there, she had this belief, this is what she felt like when. You know, you don't actually have access to those. But within your imagination and within the deepest instincts, you have a feeling for what she may have gone through. And if we look beyond her, Gay, beyond your grandmother, to the huge, you know, generations way before that where there was no shame, you would probably be able to, within your imagination, explore and begin to think of the kind of culture that you would have been proud of if that had been able to pass straight through to you.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking of is, which is your strongest artistic sense? I mean, I hear you speaking and telling a story really well. Are you more of a, and I'm not talking in a professional sense, but within your own comfort zone, are you a storyteller, a writer, a painter, a crafter? Where's your kind of leaning?
I'm a pretty good storyteller and I'm artistic.
Brilliant. Okay. So what I would love to give you for your, you know, usually in Dream Alchemy, we give something really quick, like a visualization, something like that. I'd actually like to give you a much longer term, deeply involved Dream Alchemy that I think step by step, day by day, is going to take you into exploring that dark. The moment you explore the dark, it's light. You know, you shine a torch. Into the dark and it's light. So we have this feeling sometimes that stepping into the dark is terrifying. It's not, because you shine the light and you go, I'll take that step, shine the light, I'll step in. You know, you're actually doing step by step and you're taking the light
and
with
you. And then you discover when you do that.
Yes, exactly. So what I'd love you to do is to, in the ways that you imagine, storytelling, whether you're telling a story through your art, or whether you're telling a story out loud in a voice, either to a group of people that you choose, or just to, you know, create some audio digital stuff yourself, you know, some MP files or anything, to create a story that about your heritage, knowing that it is a story, but it's drawing deep on what you believe it to be. So I'm saying that because any time that, and it may happen, any time that you question yourself, go, I'm making all this up. Go, yeah, you are. Yeah. Now, keep going. That's great. Because even while you're making it up, you know, you're also touching on some stuff that is probably true. You are abolishing the shame. You're giving yourself pride. You are getting in touch with aspects of the culture that, whether or not they were in your lineage, are actually enriching for you. And also, I think the main thought to bear in mind, Gay, is we all storytell without realising it. You know, we all look back on our past, yesterday, 3 years ago, when we were children, and we tell the story as we remember it. We don't tell what actually happened, because what actually happened in our childhood is coloured by our emotions, coloured by the memories we've completely forgotten, by the memories we don't have, coloured by the bits of memories. You know, we all know the thing that you can have three children that all went through the same experience and they all have completely different stories to tell. Our pasts are totally fabricated. They're totally imaginary. They're not what actually happened. We tell stories about ourselves all the time. So you are okay to go back and tell a story about your heritage, because we do this all the time. And it is better and healing for us to tell positive stories than to tell deeply distressing stories. So what I'd like you to explore what may have happened for your grandmother so that you can let some of that pain and that shame out of what is repressed in you. You know, you can no longer have to push it away in the dark. You can shine a light, bring it out, feel that pain, because emotions that are uncomfortable and difficult and trapped within us, the only way we can get rid of them is to feel them. They have to come up, feel them, which is terrifying for a moment, but the moment you feel them, they're gone. The moment you feel them, they're not repressed, they're gone. You feel so much lighter. So there will be the aspect of exploring, what was it like for my grandmother? What terrible things did she go through? But once you clear that, then delve into what you imagine to be only the positive, rich, textural side of your heritage. Do the storytelling, do the art, make it a long-term project. This is Dream Alchemy that lasts a year, Gay, and you're going to thoroughly enjoy doing it. And the point of doing it all, there are two points. One is to clear it all and to give yourself back your heritage. And the other point is to care for yourself. In doing this project is all 100% about giving care and love to yourself. It's not for anyone else. In fact, if anyone else said, well, you're spending all the time doing that, think, oh, this is an opportunity for me not to please other people. I'm doing it for
me.
It's
perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. And in doing all of that too, you will begin to eliminate the dream paralysis feeling. Your dreams may process what you're exploring with your dream alchemy, and it may touch upon more fears as you release some of the dark stuff to get through that to the interesting, lovely stuff. And that's cool, that's fine, that's your dreamy mind doing the right stuff, processing it, letting it go. So I'm telling your unconscious dreamy mind right now, as well as your conscious listening mind, that it's okay to have those fears, not to panic, and that if you do try to wake up too quickly ahead of your body and you feel the dream paralysis, it's okay. That's just your body looking after you. Even in the dream, take a few deep breaths. This will pass. This will pass. This will pass. Oh, now I can move.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds great. Yes.
Okay. Yes. any questions on your dream alchemy? Or are you pleased and happy and know what you're going to do?
Oh, I can't wait to start.
Okay. That's wonderful. Well, you're having a good sleep tonight. You're going to start in the morning.
I am. That's awesome. To have a path to follow is wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's so lovely. And keep me in touch during the year about how it's going. I'd love to. You know, if and when you're ready to share with our audience later on what it did for you or how it helped, come back on the show again and share.
I'd love to.
Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on The Dream Show, Gay.
Thank you, Jane Teresa, for all of your insights.
That was absolutely wonderful, wasn't it? Just taking part and having that glimpse into Gay's life and sharing her joy at the feeling of having a Dream Alchemy project that's, I knew, I just had the feeling had to be a lovely long year-long project, and it's going to lead her to wonderful places right from day one. Just before I do go, I was talking to someone just this morning, actually, about the Dream Show, and she lives in America too, now I come to think of it. And she said, you know, it's interesting that although she reads all the blogs and she's read most of my books, it's still the Dream Show for her that has been the most transformative and the most informative, because she, in particular, although she's a good reader, it's the spoken word, or it's listening to the spoken word down her headphones that really creates more magic for her. So we're all different, and it's most likely that if you've listened this long into the podcast that you're an auditory person too and really enjoy the spoken word. So do have a listen to the others. Do share. As you all know by now, this is a a big, this is one of our big projects. It's been going for 5 or 6 years, or however long it is, 6 years, I think, and it's ongoing. And it's our mission to get these podcasts out so that anybody in the world that speaks English or understands English and has access to online facilities can listen to this stuff and learn about dreams and dreaming, and other people and other cultures, but specifically learn these tools so that they can understand their own dreams and help other people with theirs. So we do appreciate if you share the link and get it out there. We all dream, everybody dreams. We don't often talk about them, but it's very likely that friends, family, colleagues of your own are actually really interested. So do share. And if you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, it is you volunteering something really wonderful to come on the show and do that. We simply call you at an appointed time and record. So if you'd like to do that, again, go to janetheresa.com, click on the Dream Show, and you'll see in the drop down box there how to be a guest on the show. So we really appreciate that too. The next episode, episode 169, will be out on the 18th of September 2015, if you're listening in real time. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Have a wonderful month, and I'll talk to you next time. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.